Appreciate you. You help let them know about how they can be a part of the AIB and what's going on. I appreciate that. And he did give a few insights. He came on the first day of session. They have what's called a Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast, and the legislators all come together. But it's a nonpartisan group that holds this, but a lot of legislators come. And it gives us an opportunity to see them before things get a little feisty. But let me just say, even down there, even when things get feisty, they usually do it respectfully. I've only had one or two instances of people being unduly ruly or rude or really ugly. Other than that, as one legislator told me, he's now a congressman, he told me, he said, Eddie, I want you to know my door is always open. He said, because we should always be able to sit down and discuss issues even when we disagree. And this legislator is one I disagreed with a lot with. But he was very thoughtful and respectful, and I appreciate that. And I've had other legislators say the same thing. And that's my goal, is to build a relationship. Because, first of all, if I'm going to be able to explain to them about Jesus Christ in one way or another, they have to be able to understand that I care about them as a person. And that's the same thing with you with regards to what you do. But this ministry, as I was explaining this morning, it actually started in 1977, thereabouts, 1977. And in the early years, we were really concerned about two main things. But the concern of the pastor that wanted to get this started was he was seeing religious liberties eroded in the United States and in Virginia. And that, folks, that's always going to be the case. We're not the majority in the United States of America. And we need to understand that we're going to be, eventually, if the Bible pretty well shows that, if we're around long enough, we're going to end up becoming the enemy of the state, and we will be persecuted. Expect it. But while we have opportunity, I've been thankful to be able to do what I do. Not every state has exactly the VAIB. They usually have something that is a broader-based type of work that does work on behalf of churches and religious entities and those with Christian values. But the fact is, I actually am a registered lobbyist. It's a law in Virginia. If you're paid to influence the government, you have to be registered. And so I am. And everything is above board, and everything is right there as to what we spend, what we do, and how we work. But I am thankful. And as I said during the Sunday school time, generally about 3,000 plus bills come in. That's a lot. Now, they're really not all types of bills that change the law. About 75-80% of those do. The others are not in that category, but I'll not go into it. But out of those, I usually have about 100 to 150 bills that I actually do work on. And that is an extremely large number for any one person to work on. And only with God's grace, and I'm not complaining, believe me, because I enjoy what I do. My wife will tell you, I really do. I enjoy what I do. And like you said, I'll let you know who the right people are and the wrong people are that are coming down the aisle. But the fact is, we try to treat everybody respectfully. And so as I work on these bills and I look at these bills, generally they come in slowly. For example, for this year, we had to wait for elections to finish, and they started coming in November the 15th. So I began to look, and I think as of yesterday, I think was the last time I looked, there may have been 8 or 10 bills put in. But that will accelerate. But by January 1st, when they really need to put bills in, because legislators are limited as to how many bills they can put in, except if they put them in early, which is kind of crazy to me. They ought to just limit them anyway. Like, you really got 3,000 things you got to fix in there? No! It's crazy. So what they do is they start coming in about, are you ready for this? 100 a day. 100 a day. Now, fortunately, I have a system that helps me to weed through these pretty quickly as to what they're dealing with and what they may impact. And because of that, I can get through this reasonably well. You know, it may take me an hour to go through 100 bills, but I can usually do that. But when we get 3,000, that is a lot to deal with, because it means being in multiple committees, sometimes trying to be in committees at the same time to deal with the bills. But that's okay. God gives me the grace. God gives me the help. And there are, fortunately, a couple of other entities down there that are working in the same area. But because we were concerned about some areas and we managed to get some success in some areas, we found out something else. If you're not proactive, you're going to be reactive. And if you're reacting, you're already behind the curve. So if we're proactive enough to get things in place, you got to keep working to keep them in place. If we want to keep the protections up, we have to continue to have somebody there voicing concerns. And so that's why I am honored to be there on your behalf, and I do appreciate that, but I am a registered lobbyist. Please don't hold that against me. It's a requirement of the law. But the fact is that we have been very fortunate that pastors are still able to preach the full counsel of the Word of God without fear of being sued or arrested or anything else. Churches are free to meet like this, and we still have protections in place for tax exemptions for churches, and I'm thankful for that, because VAIB, on the sales and use tax, you say, well, why sales and use tax? Because before that, before 1977, the only thing that was protected was property tax. That was it, property tax. But if you go out and buy the flopper ball, you know you can get a tax. Do you get tax exempt on that stuff, or do you care? You did on that. I know some things, it's like me. I'm not worried about that. Just charge it. Just go ahead. Right, exactly. So there are some things, though, it can help. I mean, like if you guys were going to go buy chairs, you can get a tax benefit with regard to that. Now, things have gotten a little more complicated over the years because of when you're dealing with corporations outside of the state, they sometimes don't recognize a church unless they're incorporated. Virginia is one of those rare states where incorporation is not required. Are you guys incorporated? You're not incorporated. Now, we as VAIB has now been, we've changed our tune, because I know a long time we said, don't worry about incorporating. Well, now you might need to worry about incorporating, because we had a church, we had a bank account at a bank, had a credit card, and one day a guy went to use the credit card and they declined it. And so he went to the bank and said, what's wrong with my credit card? He said, we can't give you that credit anymore. Our bank won't allow that because of the guidelines. And some of this had to do actually with 9/11 and the terrorist guidelines to prevent money laundering going through entities that weren't really tax-exempt entities. And that's really what it fell down to. And the pastor said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, number one, if I were you, I would get incorporated. If you are incorporated, then you are recognized as an entity. Now, it doesn't take anything. I think it's like $25 a year to maintain the incorporation. It may cost you a little bit to incorporate if you use a lawyer or something. But incorporation has certain layers of protection that we are now saying that there could be benefits. But VIB worked on these sales and use tax exemptions, sound equipment, hymn books, lights, vacuum cleaners, carpet. If you install it yourself, only the things that you install yourself as a church, those things could get tax exemptions. And the last year we got a tax-exempt bill passed was in 2007. So that's literally a 27-year period. We worked to get bills passed for various areas of tax-exempt protections for churches. And so we continue to watch that. Now, I have seen some erosion of some of those tax exemptions. In other words, they're narrowing some of these things a little bit more. And I'm getting a little bit concerned. I'm trying to watch those things, because that happens over in the regulatory process, not the bill-making process. You say, well, what's the difference? That's a whole other story. And as my wife says, you don't have enough time to explain it, so just move on. And so that's what I just know, that there are things that sometimes it's more difficult. That's why you are better off having somebody like me who understands, as he said, the ins and outs of these things, so that I can be aware of those things. Because if they pass a bill that really hurts churches, once it gets passed, it's really hard to get it out. That's the problem. It happened to us some years back in an area on inspections of schools, Christian schools, and that became an issue that we were able, and that was one of the rare things we got overturned with regards to inspections areas. But folks, all in all, just remember something. Our mission hasn't changed. VAIB's mission hasn't changed. But can I tell you something else? Your mission hasn't changed either. Your mission for Jesus Christ is still the same. He gave it to the disciples over 2,000 years ago. It's still the same. If you want to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, I'm just going to read a few verses. Colossians 1, 19 and 22. Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I have to go through and recite it to myself or I forget. As I had traveled throughout the state of Virginia, and as he said, I've been doing this traveling since 2000, and well, actually since September 2009, but more since 2010. As I travel, I am so thankful for the many faithful believers that I've been able to meet and got to know. And I know it's difficult because you're usually only at a church like this maybe every 4 years. I think 2017 was the last time I was here. I went to a church earlier this year I hadn't been in since 2011. Folks, it's a long time, but I'm so thankful for churches that continue to support what we do. But I'm burdened for those churches, or more the individuals in the churches, who have become frustrated over certain issues and allowing that frustration to boil into anger. And this causes churches to get frustrated and really immobilized. It prevents the church from being the blessing it needs to be. Sometimes we see that the enemy's work isn't necessarily to stop you from doing something, but sometimes it's to get you distracted with something else. Folks, remember something. While we are all for voting and being involved in the political process, because it affects our daily lives and affects our churches, I want you to remember that our mission is getting the gospel out to Jesus Christ. Now, it's not VA Abbey's mission. My mission is to make sure churches like this can continue to do that, that you can continue to do that. But I've seen people get so red in the face mad, I've been embarrassed. Just to let you know. I remember one year we had a pastor come. He was upset about a particular issue. Y'all deal with, floodwater collections or whatever. Certain areas have to pay fees, stormwater fees. That's what they're called, stormwater. Y'all don't have stormwater fees here because you're not technically in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, but 75% of the state is. And this pastor was mad because their church was going to have to pay the stormwater fee. And he said he wasn't going to do it. And I said, well, you have a choice. You don't have to do it, and they'll fine you or they'll come and arrest you. Well, that's just, I don't want that. We need to get a bill passed. Unfortunately, I had tried to get a bill passed several years before, and in my work on the issue, I understood the problem is more at the federal level, the mandates from the federal level to the state level in getting these things done. So it was a federal mandate that the state had to carry out. So you understand what I'm saying? They can't say no is the problem. And this pastor, he came to the committee meeting, actually a subcommittee meeting, which was in a room about the size of this section of chairs. And they got the legislators at the front at their table, and then you got about a quarter of the number of chairs for all the other people to sit in. Here he's in there. And so when you have a committee, then they give you time. They give those who are in support of the bill to speak, those who are in opposition to the bill to speak. He spoke, of course, with those that were in support, and there was a handful. I mean, really, not very many. Because he had done all this before I understood, and when I found out the bill was in place, I thought, oh my, this is going to be a disaster. So he spoke passionately about the bill and its intrusion into churches, and then others came up to speak in opposition to the bill. And so one of the people came up and spoke in opposition to the bill, made a comment that was basically contradictory to what the pastor said. Now, folks, this is extremely common at the General Assembly, okay? Sometimes people will say things that seem absolutely contradictory. So the pastor, when that man started speaking, the pastor said, was sitting in and he went, now, wait a minute. I was red in the face, embarrassed, because he had had his chance to speak. He had no right to speak thereafter, and he interrupted, and the committee chairman took that gavel and slammed that gavel about four times, said, sir, sit down or you will be escorted out by the security. And that committee chairman did exactly what he was supposed to do. I mean, you don't want somebody coming up and interrupting you while you're preaching, right? That'd be kind of rude. Now, folks, I understand being passionate, but we've got to be respectful, and we have to do things decently and in order, according to what my Bible says. And he wasn't being very respectful. And that That, I can tell you what, that really hurt me in the eyes of some of the legislators at that time. But our mission is the same. In fact, it says in Colossians 1, 19 and 20 through 22, "For it pleased the Father that in him, that is Jesus, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now you might wonder, why am I going to this portion of Scripture, to the Colossians? Well, you need to understand the background of why Paul was writing this letter to the Colossians. You see, the Colossians had some people that had infiltrated into their church that were false teachers. And they were teaching things that Jesus, number one, wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't God at all. And they were teaching that Jesus really wasn't the Messiah. Now, that's a problem, because that's not doctrinally correct. Though Paul had never been in that church, he addressed the issue head on, realizing that the nature of Jesus as creator and redeemer was non-negotiable. Now, folks, as I said, there are things, the way I work at the General Assembly, that I try to work to move any issues a little bit closer to our goal of what we're trying to do. Again, we know abortion to be murder, according to the Word of God. Jesus talks about knowing you in the womb. If he knows you in the womb, then you weren't just a blob. And he talks about certain ones that he had plans for and intends for. Folks, I believe God has a plan and purpose for every single one of us, whether we get saved or not. He has a plan and purpose for every single human being. But he knew, Paul knew, that this deficient view was going to create a weakening of the faith of these Christians in Colossae. And he needed them to, so to speak, get the truth and make sure they stayed with the truth. Jesus is reconciling everything to himself. In Virginia, I tried to understand this amazing truth that everything that's going on has not taken God by surprise. This is something we so often forget. We can't see the beginning to the end. Jesus sees things from such a higher view than we see. He can see the beginning to the end. We're only within a certain speck of time in that continuum. But we have to trust that Jesus is still in control. He does not control people like a puppet master. And sometimes we think that's what we want God to do. Well, folks, we have free choice. You have free choice. The answer to the problems that we have in our country are based in this book, not in changing the laws of the land. We simply work in this venue because, as I said, we saw problems that needed to be approached, that needed to be dealt with, and we found that one of the best ways to do it, if it's a legal issue, change it in the legal system. And so that's what we've done. Our mission, as I said this morning, it's to rally the independent Baptists in the Commonwealth to strengthen our position on issues for the common good of all. And folks, believe me, we know that when everyone is treating everybody, each other with respect, that we're going to have a much better society. Unfortunately, we see so many things happening, and people want to blame this situation or that situation. We're all sinners, but some people don't want to admit that they're sinners. In this last decade, we've seen a major shift in the political arena. But can I tell you what? I look around and I see some people kind of like me or older. This is not new in the political spectrum. There are swings of the pendulum, they'd like to say. We see shifts anywhere from 10 to 20 years, we see shifts in the spectrum. Sometimes I think it's because people get lazy, they don't get involved, and then when something bad happens, they want to throw up their hands and say, well, why did this happen? And I want to look at them and say, because you didn't vote, you didn't get involved, you didn't try to make a difference. During the General Assembly, my prayer is twofold. Now, I live near Richmond. Don't live in Richmond, but there are places in Richmond I wouldn't mind living. Let's just say, I live near Richmond, about a 30-minute drive from my home into the parking lot where I park at the Capitol. Generally, on my day-to-day schedule, if I go during the week, Monday through Friday is the typical schedule. Now, I am praying that the new controllers of the schedule, who will be Delegate Todd Gilbert for the House, I am praying that we won't have any crazy weekend meetings or other things that disrupt it. For example, last year, I did not get to go to the General Assembly at all because it was all online. And so I'm having to send emails to try to get in touch with legislators. How do I know if they got my email? How do I know if they read their... I don't think they did, don't think they care. Because those that were in control did not agree with our positions on things, for the most part. But during the time when I normally would go to the General Assembly and thank the Lord I'm going to be able to get to go back, they're going to have a new General Assembly building. Now, the Capitol is the same. Capitol hasn't changed. I love our Capitol. We have one of the most historic Capitols there is. And by the way, we have the longest continuous legislature of any state in the United States. We have our founding back to the House of Burgesses. You understand? I am honored to be in such an arena. It's just amazing. But when I go, I try to pray while I'm driving. First of all, anytime you're driving on an interstate, you need to pray. And so I'm on the interstate. But generally, when I'm going to the Capitol, I'm generally driving about 6 or 6:30 in the morning so that I can get to the Capitol in time to get parked and get ready for the first meetings that start at 7 a.m. Some people think the General Assembly doesn't work much. Well, I tell you what, General Assembly meetings, subcommittee meetings, start at 7 a.m., and I've seen meetings last until 11 p.m. Fortunately, not the ones that started at 7 a.m., but understand, I've seen a meeting start at 5 p.m., and we went for 6 hours in that committee. I thought I was going to die of boredom because they're talking so many things that don't matter to me, but I'm still there for some important reasons, and I'm waiting. But the fact is that I will be praying. I am praying that God will give me the strength that I need to do this important task. Because you got to remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness of this world. I've got to remember that people are too often doing the bidding of somebody that we can't see, but we want to blame the person. We have to understand that person is still a person who Jesus died for, whether they believe in Jesus or not. My goal is not just to make sure the right legislation passes or gets defeated, but my goal is to make sure I'm representing Jesus Christ. So like you said, when I'm in the hallway, my natural thing is to smile, to shake hands, to ask how they're doing. Now, I know there's most lobbyists do one thing in the lobby. What's that? They try to get them to vote for a particular bill a particular way. I see lobbyists. I know why some lobbyists are skinny, because they are running literally from point A back to point B to get with another legislator and convince them why they need to vote. And I understand what they're doing, but I found out something. I can't run back and forth. I'm getting too old for that. And I don't want to do it that way. I do mine differently. If I'm going to talk to them about something, I'm going to do it at a different time. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to meet them in their office, or I'm going to talk to them on the phone. I'm going to talk with them in a time that's not there when they're going to their session. Session is when the House meets and the Senate meets. I am going to make sure that I let them know if there's something in their life that they need me to pray for them for, I can do that. I just ask them, I say, how are things going? I am thankful that there are a number, I'm not saying as a majority, maybe 15, 20% of the legislators, I have an assurance that they are born-again believers because I have asked them. I have asked them. But legislators come and go. I got new legislators coming in, but I know a couple of them. One guy from one district sent his letter to thank his constituents for voting and thank the Lord for leading him in this way. And he gave a little bio that he went to Word of Life Bible Institute and graduated from a Christian college, and I can't remember whether it was Pensacola or someplace else. I was awed at what this guy put in there, because most of his constituents aren't going to be familiar with all that, but it just impressed me. The man gave a solid testimony of salvation. Another man who works as an assistant pastor at another church is the principal of a Christian school. I've talked with him. Solid testimony of being saved. So I've got legislators that are saved, but can I tell you what? Not everybody who's saved still agrees 100% on everything. Okay? You've got to be respectful of people, even if they have a slightly nuanced, different view of certain things. But I remind myself as I'm praying and going to the Capitol about that. Secondly, I also am praying for churches and pastors specifically, that we will see a harvest of souls. Undoubtedly, with us being in the minority in the population of the United States of America, there's got to be a lot of lost people out there we can get. They got to be out there somewhere. And so we need to be out there and be open and make ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to use us to talk to people about Jesus in the right way. Now, you know, I firmly believe, I've knocked doors and I've been soul winning. I firmly believe that the best way to win somebody to Christ is to first help them to understand that you want to be their friend and that you want to get to know them as a person. That's the first and foremost thing, that they understand that you're not caring about just checking off a mark that you've won somebody to Christ, but that you care about them as an individual. That's important. So my prayer is to make sure that I am being the right example, again, there at the Capitol, because folks, there are those that are openly gay. There's a transgender individual that is there at the Capitol. I remember when she, again, I'm going to use the pronoun that person would prefer. I remember when she came in a few years back, after when she first came in, and there was a lot of sickness going around. People get sick, they get the flu, they get cold. But her presence was necessary for a vote in a committee. And when she came up and was coming, and I said, "Delegate Rome, you really don't look well. Should you be here?" And she said, "I've got to be here." I said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for you that you'll get well." I mean, I didn't want to get what she had either. Okay, there was a lot of stuff going around. But she was very sick. And I felt like it's the right thing to do, to pray for her to get well, that I might be able to build some sort of relationship. Because I tried to do that even with others, that we disagree on certain values and certain positions. But we've got to let our light shine. We've got to be the influence, because if you don't, who will? Who will? In your area, in your sphere of influence. We do what we do because I believe that Jesus has put me in this place to do this job. For over 33 years, I taught in Christian education. I love Christian education. I love teaching kids. I love teaching teenagers, which are so much fun. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they speak before they think, you know, sometimes that happens. That's okay. They're learning to become an adult. I loved it. But there came a time when I was in my life, I was not happy teaching teenagers. And I thought, well, God wants me to teach in another area, another venue, maybe older, more respectful, older people. I don't know, something. And I was looking. And then this opportunity came up. And when Dr. Knapp presented this option to me, he said, "I think you do a great job. I think you've got, and by the way, you do have to be a people person, okay? Grumpy people should not be lobbyists, I can tell you that. Grumpy people just need to stay home and stay out of the way." But when Jack was talking to me about this, I looked at him and said, "I don't want to work with people like that." Now, have you ever said something about those people that are the elected officials up there that you may have even voted for? "I don't want to work with people like that." What kind of people are they? Folks, they're regular people. They face the same challenges that you do. I've seen legislators nearly every year, at least one legislator, lose a family member. I remember one year, a legislator, and again, a legislator on the other side of our values and so forth, whose son was challenged with drug addiction. It was doing well. He was a young adult, and it was doing well. But I guess suddenly had a relapse and committed suicide. That man was crushed. Because that man, he is a very kind man, a very loving man. and would listen to me. And I sent him a message and said, let you know I'm praying for you. And so when he came back, and he stayed out 5 days. I think he stayed out a week and came back. And he just came over and said, Eddie, I really appreciate that message, that note you sent me. And thank you for praying. I said, well, I know it's got to be heartbreaking. I've got children, and I would hate to lose any of my children that way. But just let you know I'm praying for you. Folks, you would be surprised. Do you know that usually they have some Bible studies that go on at the Capitol? Now, I might not would agree everything that's being said in some of those Bible studies, but they are making an effort. And I know one man that does a Bible study that is solid insofar as what he preaches. And I can tell you that Terry McAuliffe, when he was governor, he heard the gospel of salvation because I was there in that meeting when the man taught it. I know that each and every one of the governors that have visited this particular Bible study heard the gospel because that man told me, he said, if I'm going to get the governor here, I'm going to take my shot. I got to give him the gospel, make sure he understands. And folks, that's the way the legislators are that come. During this COVID crisis, I know people get frustrated a lot, but can I tell you one blessing of it? Technology, like I'm seeing being used right now. I know we may not have thought that it was a good thing, and maybe I know people should be here in the service because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and I take that in the physical sense. But we do know that back then they did not exactly have this kind of technology. But for anybody to be able to join together, whether online, through technology, or in person, is a blessing. And I know people that have been able to reach out further with their church ministry than they've ever done before. And I think it's a blessing. Let's use the technology that God has given us for a good reason, because, folks, we know there's plenty out there using it for bad reasons. And there's plenty of awful stuff that's out there, whether it be on television or on the web. So, look, let's use the tools that God gives us to the greatest ability that we can. Let's not be overwhelmed and too focused on the bad things that may get passed in the law or what a legislator may say or may do. Let's remember, they're human. They are able to make mistakes. And we need to be understanding of that. And if you're going to contact a legislator, please, I always say, do three things. Be brief in what you say. Be kind in what you say. And be appreciative. Tell them you thank them for their service. Because, folks, I ask churches sometimes, how many of you would run for office? We were in a church earlier this year and found a young man just graduated from college earlier last year, I guess, that was living in a district that a particular person had always won, and it was a particular party that he didn't agree with and that I didn't agree with. I didn't agree with that particular delegate either. And he kept talking to his dad. He said, Dad, we need somebody to run against this person. And he said, well, son, I don't know what to do. Well, I don't know what to tell you. And the son finally got burdened up. He decided to run for office. And he ran against this legislator. I'm telling you, I told him, I said, you do understand you're fighting a severely uphill battle. I talked with him, and you know, he was doing a shoestring budget. I mean, literally, he had no support from the party, the Republican Party, because it was an inconsequential race, and they're going to put their money where they think. That young man got 23% of the vote. I was shocked. I mean, looking at the district he lived in, I was shocked. And I told him, I says, it takes running more than once is proof that you're really dedicated to something. I said, so if you feel like you're going to keep moving, then, you know, do that, move that way. But I told him how proud I was of him and what he had done in trying to run for office. Folks, we need Christians in school boards, local school boards. We need them on local supervisors or board of supervisors or whatever you have out here, city councils, whatever it may be. We need people. And through the years, I have run into people, Christians in our churches that have done that. But they're very careful and they're very wise in how they address issues and how they deal with things. Folks, you don't have to go in and tell everybody on the board that they're a bunch of sinners and they're going to go to hell. Okay? We just don't need to do that. You know, that's not the best way to influence people in the right direction. But you can show people through your stand and your positions that you are godly and you want to do what's in the best interest of people. That's what I encourage you to do. We've seen some challenges, but I am very hopeful for this coming year. As one gentleman told me, and I am the same way, brother, I am cautiously hopeful for this General Assembly session. Because now I get to be back, I get to meet people, and I'm hoping that we're going to see some changes, even if it's small changes in some areas, in order to put things back in the right direction in some places. Now, VAIB doesn't work on everything. We don't work on tax issues unless it's a severe tax issue or they're trying to tax a church. But folks, we believe that there should be a reasonableness in how much they tax individuals and what they do. We are against gambling, and I just think gambling is horrible. It's horrible for people. People get addicted. They get tied into this stuff. But thanks again to the Supreme Court for their making the decision that we can't stop them from gambling online. We can't stop them from betting online. But we are going to have to take care of some of these people who are going to be hurt financially because they are going to get so tied in to this area. But that's just one area. The most important thing is that churches, that you as a Christian, are able to get the gospel out and able to speak the truths of the Word of God without interference. Because, friend, I'm telling you, there could come a day in our lifetime, because none of us would have expected to see some of the things we've seen in our lifetime. Things can change quickly. I'm praying for you that you'll get a renewed burden for people, for souls, a renewed burden for this state to pray for the legislators. I want you to have a peace in your hearts that comes only from Jesus, knowing that He is still in control even when things look chaotic and out of control. I want you to have a passion to influence people for the cause of Christ. If we can move people closer to Jesus, I believe we can help this state to receive the blessings, because there are verses in the Bible that talks about how God blesses those who bless Him. Folks, I hope you will understand Jesus is still in control. He hasn't forgotten you. He never will forget you, no matter what the challenges we face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've been so good to us. I just love how in Virginia we get the different weather, and I'm so thankful for this cooler, nicer weather that we're having now. But I'm so thankful for the state that You've given us, the long heritage and history that we have in this state. And I pray, God, that You will help me and help this church and other churches like it to continue to make a difference for the cause of Christ, that we will continue to be a voice of reason, a voice of love and compassion, but a voice of truth, to stand by Your truth. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray.